Cocaine is in the building.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the Saturday Afternoon Podcast for, what is today? It's Saturday, April 25th. But I know what you're thinking. You're hearing this on Sunday, April 26th. But, you know, came a day late, I know. But, you know, I have a good reason for that because today's our first time having a guest on our show. So I have with me today the, you know, Ice Water himself, Mr. First One in the Gym, Last One Out, Mr. Sneaky Athletic, Mr. High IQ Basketball Player, and that's all the general stereotype basketball players I have. But without further ado, it's Matt Lariquette. Matt, how's it going today?
Good, man. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate all of those really wonderful white man comps there. I think you forgot the most important one. Would you let me date your daughter?
Well, you know, I don't have any kids, and I've been teaching my boys to swim backwards for years. So, I don't think it's going to happen for a while. So, no worries there. But, yeah, what's going on, man? How's it going?
Not bad, man. Quarantine, living my best quarantine life. Not doing anything. It's not affected me as much as it's affected you, mostly because I don't do anything with my life. I usually just stay at my apartment anyways. So this is just normal for me. For you, I know it's a little bit different, but for me, this is just another day at the office, pretty much.
Well, you know, I think it's more of like a lot of people talking about the choice that they can go outside, but you know, they choose to stay inside. So I think that's where the whole debate comes. People saying, you know, I'm going stir crazy. Do you think you're going stir crazy at all, or just smooth sailing?
I think for the first week of quarantine, I was a little stir crazy because I think I was mostly just, you know, most of my socialness comes from going to work, and I didn't have that, and I wasn't talking to the people a lot that I work with. So that was kind of weird. But once I started, you know, talking to you guys a lot more on Xbox, talking to my coworkers a lot more, I'm fine. Honestly, I've actually flipped kind of around on this whole working from home thing. At first, I was like, this sucks. I don't want to do it anymore. But now I'm like, man, I do not want to go see these women in the office anymore because, yeah. Man, can they just bug the hell? I mean, they're bugging the hell out of me just from working from home. Like, for some reason, being a computer scientist, I'm the IT guy in our office, which is the worst thing ever. Anything that I have to solve, I just Google anyways. And I've got people hitting me up over Slack about tech problems. I'm like, I can't help you with that.
But I mean, like you said, it's like stuff that you're just searching on Google and, you know, you right. seem like the expert on it. So, you know, I mean, that's stuff that, you know, kind of sets you apart from the pack. So, you know, I have that same kind of experience at work. Like, you know, I'm like the go-to guy to set up meetings, which it's not that hard, but it's like everyone thinks it's the hardest thing ever. And, you know, I'm just that tech guy now. So, yeah, I can't complain. But, you know, it's interesting. I love that you brought up this fact that, you know, people are complaining about, you know, the whole quarantine and social distancing and stuff, but it's like, you're living in America, first off, all right? You just have to stay in your house with your tablets and, you know, watching all your right. Netflix shows and all that. And I'm just like, that's not that bad. Think about back in, like, you know, World War II days when, you know, like, Anne Frank and, like, the Jews were hiding from the Nazis just so they can actually stay alive. Like, they were hiding attics for like how long? Like it's not that big a deal. Like you're doing something that if you do it properly, you know, you listen to the guidelines what the government's saying or your state government's saying that, you know, we're going to get through it. It's not going to be that bad. You might lose a couple weekends not going out with the boys or every little girl's trips or, you know, going to the beach. But, you know, of course, unless you're living in Florida, which you can do that anyways. But yeah, like it's not that bad. I don't know. And
so let me ask you this, Dustin. We've seen a lot more recently these protests about essentially people coming out and wanting to not have to be forced to stay at home any longer. They don't really care about the whole health reasons. I don't know if you saw it on Alex's Snapchat. I think he was driving somewhere with his parents where in Baton Rouge there were about 100 people protesting somewhere. I don't really know where. And we've seen that kind of more. We saw it in Austin. We saw it in Houston, I think, in the last week. week, about 4,500 people came out and protested. What are your thoughts on all that? Just because I know from my own personal perspective, I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. I think if we ease up these restrictions too quickly, we're going to get hit with a second wave, which is just going to be even worse than the first wave. But what are your thoughts on it?
Well, first off, you know, I got to bring up this point. Do you remember, like, it was like 2 months ago when New Orleans was started to become like a hot spot for, you know, for the coronavirus, and they, you know, in response to, you know, sticking the finger to Corona, they decided to do a march against Corona. And you know, that just like the whole protesting thing, it's like it's almost dumb in a situation like this, because like, what are you protesting against? Like, at the end of the day, it's the virus. Like, you know, we're doing, you know, this is a time where no one's ever, you know, no one's ever dealt with a pandemic before, like in this day and age. Like, and, you know, I think the way it came about, like we weren't prepared for it. You know, we had to take drastic precautions, you know, as soon as possible. And I think the whole thing is we don't want, you know, right now America is leading in like the amount of deaths and cases than the rest of the world. So we don't want to see another spike. So, you know, I understand it at first. I was, you know, annoyed by it too, but you have to understand, like, yeah, I know you want to go back to work. You want to go back to your normal way of life. But, you know, if you don't take this seriously and you don't do the steps that you need to take, then it's all this social distancing is going to be all for naught, basically. And you wanting to go out while other people are staying in, you're being selfish, you know, in your ways, and you're affecting, you know, someone else's grandparents or someone else or older folks or someone who have may have some sort of pre-existing health condition. So, you know, I think the best thing we can do is, you know, have faith in the government, do our part by staying home, washing our hands, you know, trying to, you know, diminish the effects of spreading this, you know, this disease. So, yeah, and the whole protesting thing, it's like, you know, my thing is, I never understood protesters, you know, who are there at like outside of a building from 9 to 5. It's like, I don't know about you, but I have a 9 to 5 job. I don't have time to, you know, go make a sign and, you know, go stand out in front of a building and be like, justice for Lindsay, you know, justice for Lindsay. Like, I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts?
Have you seen all of the people, and I think it's been more so recently, I think there's been a lot of protests in front of hospitals, which is just, to me, the weirdest thing. And I think they're blocking, like, emergency driveways and stuff like that. It's getting to a point where I've seen on Reddit and, like, Twitter and social media is that nurses are having to kind of step away from tending to patients, and they're literally having to go out in front of the hospital or in front of wherever they're at and kind of block cars, which is just the most asinine thing, that we're wasting, you know, nurses' times and all of these different things for them to go sit in front of Karens and, you know, these people who are screaming about haircuts and, you know, being able to go to a bar, and having to essentially block them from protesting in front of a hospital. It's the dumbest thing. I think the whole Florida opening up beaches again is so stupid. I think after they opened up, I think it was one of those weekends, I think they recorded the most cases within a day period of all of coronavirus, the entire 4 months that it's been around. So I think we're going to keep seeing more of that. And I think we're going to get to a point where we're going to start easing restrictions, and it's just going to be a cat and mouse game of we ease restrictions, there's an outbreak somewhere, and then we go back into quarantine. And then it's just for the next like 6 months, 8 months, year, it's this continued, okay, we go out, okay, we ease some stuff, we're able to go back to work, we are able to hang out with more than 50 people, stuff like that, and then there's an outbreak, and then we're back in quarantine. So I think I'm glad I'm not in charge of that decision, but I think protesting is not going to help at all. But yeah, I just think it's the dumbest thing. And, you know, I want to be able to start going to restaurants again and being able to go back to work and stuff like that. But protesting is not going to get us there any quicker.
You know, and like for me, I never realized, you know, how serious the situation actually is until, you know, I go to like the grocery store, which is just right across the street. Because, you know, for the most part, I would say I just stay inside or might, you know, go for a drive and go to drive through and get food. But I don't know, like the other day I went to Whole Foods just to get like a couple groceries, and man, I feel like everyone in there had some sort of face mask, and I looked like the guy who just didn't get them, like the, you know, like the email, like I wasn't like CC'd on the email or something. And I was looking, everyone's looking at me like, dude, what are you doing? Where's your face mask? And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I could go back home and get like, you know, like I have like a bandana or ski mask, but the problem is like the bandana is red. The ski mask is black. So it's either look like I'm going to go rob, you know, Whole Foods or, you know, I'm part of a gang. So yeah, I just don't like, I don't like my chances either way, but
I want to see that. I want to see kind of the whole face mask thing in places with heavy gang activity. Because could you imagine going to somewhere like a Whole Foods and you've got, you're in a gang and you're repping your gang yellow color with your bandana and shit. And you're walking down like the Mexican aisle and you see someone down towards the end of it and they've got their green and it's a rival gang. Like, how does that work out? You just like walk past, you just kind of look down at the floor and you're kind of just like, no, I didn't see him. Or do, like, are we shooting up the entire grocery store? Like, how does that work? That's what I want to see. Because I think that'd be really funny. But also, it's just crazy to me that we're wearing bandanas. And I think in Texas, you have to wear masks now. Yeah, right. So just, by the way, next time you go out, make sure you're wearing a mask. But again, does a bandana really help? Like, does that really help out at all? Like, is that really a good mask to have? I guess it's better than nothing. But, I mean, to me, that doesn't seem like it's really helping too much. But again, I'm not a doctor. I dropped that dream after my first year of college. So there's a reason why I'm not. But that's what I want to see. I want to see places with heavy, heavy gang activity. I want to see two rival gangs going into the same grocery store at the same time. And I just want to see what happens. Well, to be a fly on the wall when that happens would be sensational.
I mean, look, as long as they're keeping their 6 feet and, you know, they're not coming near each other, they can duke it out from 6 feet. I mean, I don't mind. Right. It's all entertainment at the end of the day. But all right. So,
right.
You know, this was a big week this past week. We had the NFL draft. So I guess, what are your thoughts on that? Obviously, I know you're a Saints fan. What do you think? You know, what were your thoughts on the draft?
So just a clarification, I'm not a Saints fan anymore, just because fuck the whole sexual assault thing that they covered up, but we'll get into that at another point. So not really tying my wagon to the Saints anymore, but just an overarching thing, pretty disappointed in two things. One of them is the lack of trades. Second one being how seamless the virtual draft actually was. I was kind of rooting for some absolute chaos. Like, I wanted to see teams not putting themselves on mute, or, and I think we got a kind of a glimpse of it with Bill O'Brien, I think, in the third round, where he was trying to facilitate a trade and the trade kind of fell through and he was on the phone with the league office, and ESPN had it inside of his house, and he was basically cursing up a storm because he was so frustrated about the trade falling through. Like, I wanted to see just absolute chaos, and I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to see it. But it was pretty interesting. I think for me, the biggest shock of round one was definitely Jordan Love going. Just a fun fact, that's the first skill position player that the Packers have drafted on offense since they drafted Aaron Rodgers in 2005. So continually not giving him any support, and I don't like the Packers at all. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. His whole weird relationship with his family is just bizarre to me, but it's just weird to me that you're getting a quarterback with the 24th or 26th pick, whatever it was, when you've got such glaring needs about with like wide receivers, tight ends, maybe some other skill position players. I don't understand where that came from. That's kind of my overarching theme.
But I mean, to your point on that, I mean, this is coming from a Giants fan who, you know, just gone through years and years, just horrible drafts and not knowing what GMs are doing. But, you know, to that point on them drafting Jordan Love and not really fitting the offensive needs for what they need at that point in time. But you have to understand, the quarterback is, you know, the franchise star, you know. And Aaron Rodgers was the franchise star. You got to think, Aaron Rodgers was drafted at the same age he is now that Brett Favre was back in his day when he got drafted. You know, so you're seeing that same situation, just like, you know, when, you know, Eli Manning got drafted to the Giants, same time that, Daniel Jones was drafted to the Giants. Now everyone questions, like, oh, why are we doing this? We need offensive linemen, we need receivers. Well, you know, when you see a guy that fits your franchise, fits your offensive playbook, fits the culture of your organization, you take that guy now and then you build around that guy. You know, you don't want to build around a veteran who's going to leave in a couple years and then, you know, your whole entire offense is going to change. So I understand. I see the pick there. But, you know, I was just surprised at a lot of picks. Like I said, being a Giants fan, you know, watching us take you know, pass up on Isaiah Simmons, who I thought was the best athlete at that point in the draft, the number four pick that we really needed to get Andrew Thomas from, you know, Georgia, you know, passing up some other high-end offensive tackles. Like, you know, I just don't know when the Giants are going to learn their lesson. Like to me, the Giants are like that one friend that you have, like, who gets in a relationship with the same type of girl over and over again, and, like, he just doesn't realize that, like, it's not working out. You know what I mean? Like he gets in a relationship, you know, let's say, you know, give it like 2 years and realize, oh, it's not working out. So they cut the player. And then it's like, all right, well who are we going to go for now? That's like, look at that one over there. And, you know, she's looking kind of thick. Oh, that is a hog right there. That's a hog. It's like, oh, well, you know, the past couple hogs didn't work out. And, you know, GM's just like, no, but this one's different. This one's different. And then, you know, a couple months go by, and then, you know, you go to going out with the boys, and you see him with that same girl again. You're just like, oh, God, he didn't learn his lesson. And, you know, and that's what it's like being a Giants fan. And, you know, I just can't see my friends go down like that.
And it's something to me with your analogy of going after the same girl. It's literally like the Giants keep going after eights in looks and then like three in personality, right? They get this tackle or this offensive lineman year after year that they think is really attractive, and then a couple months later, like, God, this person sucks. Like, I can't stand to be around this person.
Like, you gotta think, like, the last 6 years, every first round pick other than Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, they've either been cut or just did, like, terrible for the Giants. Like, you look at Eric Flowers. I mean, just the glorified traffic cone. Like, he's out of Miami now. I don't know what he's going to do out there. And then you have Eli Apple. Like, just words cannot describe, hey, like, my feelings towards that guy.
That's Saints legend Eli Apple, okay? That boy is one of the best cornerbacks that I've ever been able to watch play.
No, I think the most legendary Saints player is the rest, by all means. I mean, that's just a rivalry that's gonna you know, you're gonna look back years, and, you know, when you're talking to your kids about sports, you're like, oh, daddy, what happened in 2018 in the Saints playoff game? And, you know, just have PTSD of, you know, who was it, Tommy Lee just getting taken out by the cornerback. Right. Cornerbacks looking for a flag.
You're literally that meme that, like, you're that dog, and then, like, it's like the World War II pictures all around him, and he's just, like, looking into the camera. It's basically that meme. And I think, honestly, the biggest, it's not the refs that it's the biggest rivalry. I think it's actually the NFL, because the fact that something on the field can force people to basically sue the NFL and to be such up in arms about it for so long, I think that's really special. And one of the reasons that Saints fans are just really adored around the league.
You're right. Well, you know, and I want to get back to this point on the draft. You know, so this was the first time, you know, given these strange times. And, you know, I also want to say one thing about that. I hate people who say, like, this is the new normal. It's like, no, it's not. This was never normal. Like, we were meant to, right, you know, stay inside and, you know, not socialize. Like, humans are social creatures. Like, I think about this. Like, what's the worst thing that you can do to, you know, someone who's in prison? Right, that's the worst thing you can do to any human being. It's you put them in solitary confinement, right? Like, that's the worst thing you can do, because, you know, no matter how people, you know, how much people say that, oh, you know, I'm a lone wolf, like, I don't need to be around people. Like, you need people. Like, that's what life's all about, like, relationships. But, you know, before I go too far off there, but. You know, this draft being virtual, you know, everyone's, you know, doing their, you know, their draft parties from the home with a couple of loved ones and whatnot. And, you know, whenever you're watching the traditional draft, you don't really see the family's reactions or the people in the draft party's reactions as much as you see now. And I think it was, man, I can't remember who the pick was, but this guy gets drafted, and, you know, he starts crying, you know, tearing up, and then the camera's, like, panned over on him, and his girlfriend, you know, sits on his lap, like, his mom's, like, cheering, ready to go, like, you know, cheer with her baby boy, who she's been there for, what, 20, 21 years of his life. And then, you know, that's her golden moment. She wanted to go, you know, comfort her son, saying, hey, son, you earned this. I'm proud of you. You were always strong. We knew you were going to do this. That was her God-given moment. And you know what happens? That girlfriend who was, what, there for, like, maybe a year, a couple months, I don't know the situation, she sees it as a cha-ching, ding. You know, she sees dollar signs going up, and she goes, sits on his lap, and looks in the camera and says, "Gosh, we made it." You know, and I love the mom's reaction. You know, she handled it with poise. She grabbed the girl off of her and said, "Hey, no, no. See, this is my moment. All right, not yours. It's my moment." But you know, what are your thoughts on that? I think, you know, we've seen, you know, maybe the camera wasn't as into that as I was, but you know, I was looking at that, like CeeDee Lamb, he's, you know, on phones with, you know, after he got drafted, he's on the phone with the, you know, league office, and his girl sees an opportunity to, you know, go take his phone. It's like, hey, his phone's unlocked. He's not paying attention. Let me go. Let me just go see. Right. He's texting.
He's talking on his agent's phone. CeeDee Lamb's getting drafted by Dallas, one of the biggest markets. And the girlfriend, for whatever reason, is like, "Oh, this is my opportunity. Let's see if he's texting that side chick again."
Yeah, I
don't understand. And did you see in that one that you mentioned earlier with the mom kind of pulling that girl off of him? First off, I think that girl was wearing his high school jersey, which is bizarre to me. It's literally like, he was just that football player in high school that she gave like a handy to after prom. Yeah. And they've kind of been like on this on and off relationship throughout college. But the mom pulls her off, right? And then you can't really, the camera's kind of focused on him and you can't really see what happens after that, but you can just see the mom's hand kind of in the top right corner. And it literally, like, she's moving it so much. One, it kind of looks like that Italian, that very passionate hand motions when they're talking. But it literally looks like, I want to imagine she's roasting the shit out of that girlfriend right there. She's just like, "How could you do this?" Like, I want to be able to hear that. And then I think CeeDee Lamb to me cracks me up as well, because again, he has two phones, which is just amazing to me in the first place. And I think I saw on Twitter, and I can't confirm this or not, but Trae Young, I think, quote tweeted it and said something like, he was just, it was like a couple of laughing faces. And then someone, because you know, no one ever forgets anything on the internet, I think that girl sitting next to CeeDee Lamb was in some way connected to Trae Young at some point in his life. Like, I think they may have dated. Someone was like, wasn't that your girl for a while? Did you see that?
I do think I saw, you know, so like I said, I was in this group text with some guys I play basketball with, and I saw them send a picture of that. And you know me, like, I wake up in the morning, I see a couple, you know, if I see like more than 50 texts in a group text, like, I'm looking at the latest message and that's about it. And I'm not scrolling through to see what sparked the conversation, what was all said, whatever facts, whatever. But, you know, I saw that and, you know, I think that makes more sense now. I don't know. It's kind of like a weird thought, you know, thinking how, you know, some people kind of, you know, stay around. Well, they also both went to Oklahoma too, so I guess that makes sense.
Right.
But, you know, but you know, some girls who like go from like athlete to athlete, celebrity to celebrity, or you know, vice versa. It's just kind of, I don't know. It's just kind of odd. It's kind of odd to watch that. I guess that's just.
And another thing I saw a lot on Twitter is like, we got this cool behind the scenes look, right? Like, most of the time with these drafts, it's just, you know, you get drafted, you get up and you hug your mom, you shake your dad's hand, you hug your dad, and then you go see the commissioner. One of the things that I saw a lot on Twitter was essentially past girlfriends versus current girlfriends. Like, I think Baker and then like some other players, they were looking at kind of the girlfriends during draft night, and it was kind of these, like, I don't know, 6 out of 10s, and it was just these people that they may have known in college or high school. And then now when they're big athletes, like, it's just these 10 out of 10 super attractive people. So it'll be funny to look back in about 5 years and see kind of how that went. And also, I think we got a good sneak peek into the people who didn't want to go play with a specific team, right? Because you can't really show that unless you're Eli Manning and you get your dad to trade you on draft day. But that's a different story. I didn't mean to do that.
That's why he's my Giants MVP right there. You know,
right. So like, CJ Henderson gets drafted 10th overall by Jacksonville. Right. Jacksonville is an absolute train wreck right now. They're trading everyone. Their owner's son is getting in Twitter fights with current players who want to get traded and shit like that. And they show CJ Henderson in his house, and you know, his family's amped up, but he's just sitting on the couch. He just looks sad as hell. He's like, "Fuck, I gotta go play for Jacksonville. I gotta go play for Doug Marrone. Leonard Fournette's probably not gonna be there. I'm gonna have Gardner Minshew as my guy." the guy who was taken in the sixth round who wears jorts everywhere he goes, yeah. Which, trust me, I love Gardner Minshew, but it was just kind of cool to see that as well, and pretty funny to see how players just literally didn't want to go play places.
He has a magnificent mustache, so that can't be overseen.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, but... Yeah, no, I mean, that's an interesting point, but, you know, one thing I'd love if the XFL ever has, like, a, you know, XFL draft, you know, they've came up with the idea of miking up players, like, on the field, like, let's mic up some, like, the family members, like, let's, like, bring, like, an ex-girlfriend into the draft party just out of nowhere, just, like,
oh,
just
to cause, shit. You know,
utmost, like, just chaos, drama, like, ever watched, like, WWE, like, you know Vince McMahon's probably think that, like, how can I make football more WWE-like? You know, just bring like an ex-girlfriend in, teach him like a couple wrestling moves, randomly throw like one of those breakable tables in there. Just, you know, it's like, oh, she knocked him down from the top rows onto the table. And she's now the new draft of the new star of the XFL's girlfriend. She won the championship belt and she earned it. Like, you know, I want to see that, you know, some of that drama.
I think you just came up with a $1 million idea. I think you need to go pitch that to McMahon, because if you can get a league of girlfriends, a wrestling league of ex and current girlfriends, I think that would be an absolute hit.
Look, see, you know, this podcast is not just entertainment. You know, we're brainstorming ideas for, you know, the rest of the country. So, you know, right. we're just progressive right now. No, but awesome stuff. And I guess, what is it, 6:30 right here. So in about another hour and a half, we have the next two episodes of The Last Dance. So I know you're a big basketball fan. You know, you kept up with kind of the historical games. But, you know, someone like me, you know who the top players are, but you never really watched them in their prime. You heard about the stories, but you didn't hear, you know, truly about the drama that happened throughout the season. And, you know, this Bulls team, you know, they're just filled with drama. You can see that from episode 1 and 2. So I guess your opinions on, you know, just the show altogether, just, you know, what's going to happen tonight. I'd love to get your thoughts on that.
So I've always loved most of the 30 for 30s. I think I've seen probably about 90% of them. So I was very intrigued with this one. And I think mostly because we haven't had any sports in forever, and the amount of people hyping up on Twitter was actually insane. I thought they were both pretty good. I knew most of it. I had a little trouble following it at some points where they were jumping back and forth between time periods. Like, they jumped to Michael Jordan's childhood and stuff like that. But for the most part, I think for me, what stuck out was how much they shit on Jerry Krause, the GM at the time. And I get it. Like, he had a massive ego, and I was two when this whole thing was going on, so I wasn't following it at all. I was still shitting in my pants. But essentially, like...
Still are.
How much... I still am, but it was just more back then. I had my mom to wipe. Now I have to do it myself. Yeah. But essentially, the whole, like... Michael Jordan shitting on him, Scottie Pippen shitting on him. Like, he did a hell of a job as a GM, right? The whole telling Phil Jackson he can't come back even if he goes 82-0 is a lot, and he had a massive ego. I get that, but he was able to put together a spectacular team around Michael Jordan. He knew what Michael Jordan needed. He knew that he needed people who could play with him, you know, who were going to protect him when he goes into the paint, because in the 80s you were getting clobbered, in the 90s anytime that you got into the paint. He did a great job of making good trades, good signings, good draft picks. He got Scottie Pippen. I think, and again, he's dead. He can't really defend himself right now, so I guess you can just air it all out now. But I think we need to dial that back a little bit. But other than that, I thought it was really funny. I think we need to go... I think 30 for 30 set them off themselves up pretty interestingly. Like, they just kind of touched on that cocaine circus in 84. I would love to learn more about that. The fact that we're literally thinking about, like, Michael Jordan tells a story where he walks into a hotel room and he's seeing, you know, his teammates split into three types of people: your cocaine users, your weed users, and your hooker users. I think I need to know more about that, man. And I just got to imagine the people from the 84 Bulls watching this documentary, and they're just with their families, and they're like, no, I wasn't part of that cocaine circus. That was everyone else. I was with Michael leaving the hotel room. Right. I wasn't there. So I want to see more of that.
Well, I guess to your point on that, though, you got to understand, like, you know, people aren't going to willingly come out and say like, oh yeah, I was doing so-and-so while I was playing basketball where they told me not to do so-and-so. It's kind of like they don't want anything coming up from the past that doesn't need to come up. I see their point on that, but to your point on the whole Jerry Krause kind of point of view of the documentary, like it's kind of like what a documentary is, that whoever's directing it, whoever's producing it, they can take out any clips that, you know, make a character seem one way just so they can kind of portray whatever role that they want, because at the end of the day, they need some kind of antagonist or some sort of a profile to fit for certain people. So, you know, like when you watch Making a Murderer, now I don't know if you've ever seen that before, but you know, it's basically about a guy who the police frame to be innocent, guy frames, but he's actually innocent. You know, the first season where you're learning about the case and, you know, what have it, you see that they're kind of taking out some facts than actually what's happening, in court to see like, oh, he was clearly innocent. And it's like, well, you know, it's easy to say that when you leave out this whole side of the investigation or this side of the evidence. So, you know, that's things about documentaries got to kind of watch for. Like, I don't know if you watched the O.J. Simpson versus People documentary. I love that because watching that, they made that in such an unbiased, unbiased point of view. But watching that, I was like, this guy clearly did it. Like, who's believing that this guy didn't do it? Like, the whole, like, if the glove didn't fit, you must acquit. Like, you know, that's, I understand that, you know, the evidence, you can't really tie the evidence based on the fact findings, and you know, at the time the police were kind of shady in the way that they were examining this case, but the way he was acting, he was supposed to turn himself in to get arrested, and he fled. Like, what innocent man does that?
That's pretty fucking guilty.
Yeah, that's guilty. Pretty guilty. Yeah, yeah. Then you have like, you know, one side, because at the time in LA, they had the whole Rodney King beating like years ago. So, you know, police and African Americans, it was kind of like this tense time that no one kind of want to touch into that. But yeah, if someone's guilty, they're guilty. Like I just don't get that. But to Jerry Krause's, his story, I'm sure he was doing a good job, but I don't know, just something about the way he looks. He looks like someone I wouldn't get along with. And you know what? I'm going to back up the players on this. I don't like Jerry Krause, and that's just my point of view. But, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how this whole series plays out, because, you know, you're going to see clips that happen behind the scenes, you know, stories that they don't talk about on sport. They didn't talk about on SportsCenter at the time because they didn't, you know what they know now. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to see. You're going to see a whole side of MJ that, you know, no one's ever seen before. It'd be like the equivalence if you saw Kobe Bryant like doing some of those things in the locker room. But also to Kobe Bryant too, I don't know if you saw, but they actually had film footage of his last season that they were going to make into a documentary. And, you know, I think
I did see that.
Yeah. And you know, that's huge, especially, you know, with his death, this past year, the past couple months. So yeah, I mean, if you thought Last Dance was going to be good, Last Dance Kobe edition, I mean, that's going to be a documentary I want to see. I think that's going to, you know, speak numbers to his legacy.
right.
Yeah, but, you know, so, Matt, I'm sure you're a frequent listener to this podcast, and I think at this point in time, this is normally where I do my advice segment, but, I think we're going to mix it up a little bit. We have you as our guest here today, so, you know, I think you should choose a segment that we should do, and, you know, we'll just see how it goes. So, yeah, I'm going to turn the table to you. What do you have for us today?
Perfect. So what I've got, and I used to be a very avid gym goer back when I was in high school, really slipped up these past couple of years trying to get back into it, but the whole quarantine thing kind of fucked it all up. But I've got a couple of questions for you, because I know you've always been a gym goer. You've been a very avid, you worked at a gym for a while, so you've seen a lot of stuff that I haven't seen. So I got a couple of questions on just a couple of gym etiquette questions, a couple of how to deal kind of questions, stuff like that. So my first question to you is, as you know, PAC was very full of let's say proud old men, right?
Right.
You'd go into that locker room and you would just see tons and tons of old men just completely naked. And I get it, right? They served in Vietnam. They don't really care anymore. Their balls are just hanging out. They're sitting by the hand dryer, just drying their assholes out. And I just, from someone who goes to the gym a lot, how the hell do you deal with that? Luckily, like for me, I have a small gym and it's my apartment gym, so I don't have to deal with that. But I know some people that are listening, they may have that same problem. So I would just love any advice on how to kind of dodge the old man dick in the locker room.
Well, it's funny. It's funny that you bring up that because, you know, this is something that's permanently just like ingrained in my memory. You know, even with CTE, this is one memory that I'm just never going to forget. You know, this is going to come to my grave. But I remember it was, you know, my senior year of high school, my last semester after I finished up playing football, and I had short day, and you know, it was like, what am I going to do with all the hours I have? I'm not playing sports anymore. You know, I still wanted to work out, stay in shape. So we all got memberships to pack. And I think this was about a month in, maybe a couple months into it, but I remember it was after me and a couple buddies who got a workout in, and we were in the locker room getting ready to go to the sauna and all just kind of talking. And this older guy comes up and, you know, he just hears us chit chatting. I think we were talking, you know, football or something at the time. And he starts talking to us, you know, he's just a really nice guy, you know, really enjoyed having a conversation with him. So yeah, we were just chatting up a storm and, you know, we're in our towels, we're all ready to go to the sauna. And all of a sudden, you know, as he's talking, he just starts, you know, undressing. And then, you know, he pulls off his pants, like just, you know, mid-conversation. Oh, and then, like, you know, after he did that, we're like, all right, like, you know, we don't mind, just whatever. But he never stopped talking to put a towel around himself. Like, he just kept talking like it was nothing. And, like, you know, I just felt a little uncomfortable because, like, I was just like, all right, buddy, like, you know, we're all just all sitting here with our balls, like, you know, hanging out, like, you know, we're covered up. Why don't you cover himself up? And literally, like, I can't even make this up. Mid-conversation, he picks his leg up, like, puts it up on the little stool they were sitting down and, like, you know, has his elbows kind of leaning forward into us, like
oh,
on his
God.
And I'm just like, all right, buddy. Like, I just got up there. It's like, all right, well, we're gonna hit the sauna. It's nice talking to you, sir. You know, we'll get out of here. But
like he was in that Captain Morgan stance where he's like,
you know, but kind of leaned in, kind of looking cool, like, you know, that guy who's like next to the jukebox in like one of those movies where, you know, for some reason the bar still has a jukebox in like the 2000s. I guess to answer your question, you just got to take it and, you know, you just got to know how to avert the conversation if they ever talk to you and do that and just get out of there. I mean, I don't know. I guess since I moved to Houston, the gym I work at, it's a younger gym. So I never had those situations. I guess people actually have shame. You know, so maybe Mandeville, you know, Mandeville folks don't really have shame when it comes to, you know, how low their nuts dangle. Hopefully you don't have to deal with that anytime soon, but you know, we'll see.
It's just something about those old rich white men from Mandeville that just really like to have their dick out in front of people. I think maybe the key is just to maintain eye contact the whole time, right? You don't want to see that old man who's apparently got dementia. He just forgets that he's unbuttoning his shirt and taking off his pants and stuff like that. I guess it's just key. If he's talking to you, just keep eye contact
Just cover it
with your hands. Be like, look, we can keep talking, but you got to do something down there. That's just disturbing. I don't need to see that. I've got at least 40 more years until I have to see that for myself.
So I got a question for you. So going to your gym, you know, your gym that you work out in Dallas, do you ever see like those guys, like, you know, kind of like they're big. They're like, they're kind of in shape, but like nothing crazy. But whenever they're lifting, they're just like screaming up the storm. Like they have like 145 on the bench and just going, you know, like just throwing weight, making a scene. And like, you want to comment, but you're like, you know what? Like, I really don't care that much. Like, have you ever had that one of those guys before?
So I think for me with my gym, it's really small. We've got, I think, 3 treadmills, 2 little stationary bikes. We've got 1 bench, no like bars. We've just got dumbbells and stuff like that. But there was this one guy once and I saw him every now and then, and he would always do like full body workouts. And one, he would take up everything. It's already a small gym. He would take up all of the stuff that we already had in it. But he would be doing those cable rows, and he would just be screaming. And I don't know, it was like a terrifying scream, right? It wasn't like he was grunting because he was lifting a lot or anything like that. It literally seemed like he was hurt the whole time he was doing it. Like he was like recovering from a torn shoulder or something. He would scream like he was dying, and it was incredible. And like he would finish his set, and then he would just towel himself off, and he'd be like, "Good workout, yeah," and he would leave. It was honestly the weirdest thing. I don't have to deal with that often. I think the first time that I ever saw someone moaning, I was at PAC, and I just looked at my dad. I was like, "What is going on?" Like he was like lifting like 25s, like 25 dumbbells, and I was like, "Why is he moaning? That's not even a lot." Yeah, and I was young.
One of those weekend warriors trying to show off for, you know, the people in there, right, with no results. Like, yeah, I got you.
Right, and I never understood it either, because like the entire time that I've worked out, it's just I don't know. I don't like to. That's just weird to me. Like, I don't know where that comes from. It's like when you're watching women's tennis and Maria Sharapova is just screaming after every time she hits the ball. Like, where does that come from? Does that add strength? Does that like help you perform better? Like, I'm just confused where that comes from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I played tennis in high school, and you know, I can fairly say I've never once let out a grunt. And, you know, I don't know if it's more so because I found it unnecessary, but I think it was more so because at the time I was still going through puberty, so I didn't want a grunt to come out and my voice crack and just go, oh, you know, just people look at me and it's like, you know, after that, you can't come outside anymore. You've got to self-quarantine until like college, right, and hopefully you can start over again. No one knows you.
Right, you move away. You don't go to the in-state college. You move away where you don't know anyone. You can make new friends and stuff like that. Yeah, right.
Because it just takes one person to be like, hey, it's that guy who groaned that one time and moaned. It's like, whoa, I didn't do that.
Right, yeah. Right. So I got one more question for you.
All right.
And it kind of goes back to the guy that uses every machine, right? So what happens, and it can be at a bigger gym or a smaller gym, when someone's doing kind of that like circuit training where they're hitting a bunch of different machines in a set period of time, what do you do when you're trying to get into one of those machines that's in his circuit? And, you know, you want to use that machine and he keeps yelling at you that you can't. That's part of his circuit. He's going to come back to that. He's not done using that yet. But you see him across the gym. He's doing something completely different. There's nothing here. There's no water bottle. There's no towel. There's nothing that says that this machine is being used. What the hell do you do in that point? Because, again, my gym's really small. So if you're using the bench and the little cable machine that we have, you're basically using everything in the gym. So I just don't know how to deal with that. So I would love to hear some perspective.
Oh man, this is a tough one, because this is one thing that really pisses me off, because, you know, I understand circuit training. I think it's effective. It's good to do, but I never do it when I know the gym's going to be packed. I do it when I know there'll be less people. But even if someone wants to use one of my machines, I'm like, yeah, like obviously, like if I'm not using it, you can use it, like you can work in. So, you know, normally I ask like, yeah, hey, can I work in with you? And every now and then you get that guy's like, you know, we have like three more sets. I'm just like, well, yes, but you know, you're going to go here. You're not going to be here this entire time. So while you're not here, instead of, you know, letting it cool down, let me just, you know, get it in. This, I guess, to answer your question, what I typically do is hopefully they're on their last set, or normally I just puff my chest up a little bit, just intimidate them to, you know, get them off the machine altogether, or B, right, I'll, you know, go either on a alternative machine or do an alternative workout that hits the same muscle group, and yeah, just get on with my workout, because I know, my thing is, I know I'll get mad if I'm waiting there, or you know, I'll just get moody. So I'm like, you know, instead of letting this guy, you know, ruin my workout, I just, you know, bounce back from it and, you know, keep my workout going, get a nice pump and, you know, leave the gym while that guy's, you know, just making zero results and just probably screwing up the storm, looking like a tool or whatever have you. But yeah, good question though. I like that.
Right. because you notice in circuit training, no one's ever hitting legs, right? It's all just upper body. So you're absolutely right, where they're just going to keep circuit training, but they're going to look like a bird with just a massive upper body and just twig legs.
Yeah, that's one thing I miss. You know, I got like a pull-up bar. I got some bands doing like body workouts here in my apartment, but, you know, I don't have like a squat rack or anything, doing like body weight leg workouts, but it's not doing anything. But my upper body is getting bigger, so... You know, I look like, you know, in like a movie, like when they like see a bottle and they like, you know, wipe in, the genie comes out and like his torso just kind of slims down to a little sliver coming out the body. Like that's what I look like right now, you know, like big, like genie upper body, but like a little twiggy legs down there. So
what have you done anything with leg workouts? Like for me, since I have a 2-story apartment, like I've just been kind of using my stairs as kind of steps. So I'm running like kind of bleachers and stuff like that. What, like I hate doing lunges. I hate doing dumbbell squats. Like leg workouts for me need to have a bar or some type of machine.
Right.
So I've tried to be a little creative. So have you been able to do anything? I know this is really, working out at home has been pretty shitty, but I mean, you have to kind of get creative in some ways.
Yeah. So I guess I typically do like air squats or, you know, have bands, not just like, you know, like the bands you can attach to your door. I have like the little thigh bands I like to use whenever I squat to like activate your glutes. So, you know, I'll do glute bridges on the ground or, I'll do like leg extensions or leg curls, and you know, it's not the best workout, but it's still something. You know, you get a little sore afterwards, but yeah, it's not the same as, you know, throwing some plates on a bar,
and, right,
you know, squatting heavy. So yeah, it's been tough there. But you know, hey, you know, this is, you know, like we said, it's a strange times, but you know, we just got to keep creative, stay positive, and you know, we'll get through it and get out of this together.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, no, well, you know, Matt, thank you for, you know, taking time to stop by on the podcast today. You know, always been a great friend. Always have wide words to share. And, you know, I think it's been fun talking to you today. Hopefully you're staying safe. Hopefully old Mama Rona hasn't come to you yet. So, you know, not cough or anything. But, you know, take care. And, yeah, hopefully see you back here again sometime, man.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me. I want to do this as much as possible. I've had an absolute blast. So I'll be interested to see who else you get on this podcast. And, you know, I'll always be listening. It's always a highlight of my Monday when I listen to the podcast. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. And, you know, that's all we have today, guys. So thank you for listening to the Natterday Afternoon podcast, where, you know, we bring a bunch of laughs with little facts. So thank you, and have a good rest of your day.